You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Productivity Commission has proposed that the government should shift to variable subsidies for tertiary education and have more control over what students study. 95BFM reporter Kelly Enright spoke to the Productivity Commission chief advisor Kevin Moore about this. She started by asking what the proposal recommends.
What we recommended in our report that we presented the government in March was that over time, government should expand access to tertiary education, and it should fund that by reducing subsidies in some areas where there are very high private returns. So the example we give in the report is dentistry. Dentistry is a very lucrative career, and it's very expensive for the government to subsidise. The fees that students pay are quite low compared to the income they're going to earn when they become dentists. And so government controls the number of students who are allowed to study dentistry very tightly. We said that for a subject like dentistry, government should allow much higher fees to reflect the income that dentists are going to earn once they graduate, and expand access, allowing anyone who wants to study dentistry and can meet the entry requirements to do so, rather than controlling the numbers of students. And then, because this government is not subsidising expensive courses like dentistry so much, it can allow more students to study other subjects around the country in different fields.
So it's said in the report that you propose that top students that receive scholarships would be subsidised around 90%, and the next kind of block of about 50% of students would get subsidised 75%, and then anybody else who wishes to study would be paying their own fees. What does that look like in terms of financially disadvantaged students who maybe haven't received similar support or quality of education earlier on, and they can't qualify for a scholarship and they can't afford uni? Is this kind of a continuous cycle that we might see, that, you know, there's certain geographic that won't get into university?
That particular proposal is not in the report. That's Maurice Williamson's idea that he talked about at Select Committee.
Right.
So we didn't propose, a sliding scale quite like that.
Mm.
But we said, you know, where government wants to increase access to particular fields of study or in particular areas of the country, then it should use its price to increase the level of subsidy to promote that particular goal, rather than just making more places available.
So how do you propose that the government would decide how many workers for each profession it needs?
That sort of labour force planning is really, really difficult to do. The first thing that government should look for is whether industry is responding by offering higher wages. There are plenty of employer groups who want more people to study in their particular field, and when you look at the salaries that are being offered, students are making very sensible choices not to study there. So if government should first look to see that employers in the economy are trying to encourage students to move into those particular fields of study through offering higher wages, but if after doing that, and if after putting those jobs on the employment shortage lists, there still aren't students who want to study there, and there still aren't providers offering courses there, then government should change the amount it subsidises and change the fees that students are charged to encourage them to move into those particular fields of study.
Mm. Like you said, it's very difficult for the labour force to kind of predict that.
Yep.
What might we potentially see if this is kind of miscalculated and we have a certain lack of a profession where it's greatly needed in the future, you know, for something that we might not foresee? And we haven't got enough people that have studied that industry, and, you know.
Well, right now, government, you know, can make more places available to try and encourage students to go in there. But if it doesn't change the prices that providers and students face, then students will, you know, make other choices. So in the future, if there are those sort of shortages, we recommend that government should increase the subsidy rate in those particular fields to encourage providers to make places available, and reduce the fees to encourage students to go into them.
Mm-hmm.
So this would give government more tools to try and encourage good matches between the choices that students make when they're studying and the labour market needs of the economy.
Mm. How do you respond to the Labour education spokesman, Chris Hipkins, saying that, you know, it's irrelevant what students study? You know, we've got a huge surplus of maybe, he used the example of art history students, that don't necessarily become art historians, but that go in, you know, using the tools from that degree or the skills that they've learnt, go into a variety of different jobs, and they still all procure jobs and potentially high paying jobs, and they're still paying their taxes. You know, he said it irregardless, it doesn't make a difference to what they've studied. How do you respond to that?
I think he's absolutely right. New Zealand has quite a high rate of people who study in a particular field of study and then don't work in that particular industry. I'm like that. I have a law degree and I am not a lawyer.
Mm.
And there are lots of people in my shoes. So that's true for some of the general bachelor's degrees. There are particular parts of the economy where you do need more specialist technical skills, where a qualification is not quite as transferable. But someone with a law degree who gets a good paying job, either as a lawyer or as a principal advisor at the Productivity Commission, should probably pay some higher fees up front, because they're going to get a high income later on.
Mm.
The revenue that government saves from that should be put into helping more people access tertiary education in other fields of study.
Right.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was Kevin Moore from the Productivity Commission talking about the new plan for tertiary subsidy. Now we also have the New Zealand Union of Students Associations opinions on this issue. My producer Joel spoke to Jonathan G from the association this morning.
So the Productivity Commission has proposed that the government should shift to variable subsidies for tertiary education, which would change subsidy levels students receive based on expected income. And the proposal also suggests having more control over what students study. What problems do you have with this proposal?
Well, in our view, I think it's an overgeneralization about what high private returns might mean in terms of looking at those subsidies. So I think, you know, my sense is from what the recommendation is, it assumes that, say, law students will become lawyers in the future, or commerce students will become business people in the future. They take those jobs, they look at the average income for that, and then they apply a subsidy based on that high private return. So, you know, I don't think it's so cut and dry as that. And, you know, as we know, a number of law students who graduate from a law degree don't actually go into the legal profession but pursue other careers. So it's a real sort of, as I said, overgeneralization of the whole issue.
So under the proposal, the government would also decide how many people they need in each sector and subsidize accordingly. Why is making predictions like this a problematic model to have?
Well, I think if you see the comments from the Minister for Tertiary Education, Paul Goldsmith himself, he himself said that, that it's very difficult for government to be able to predict accurate numbers for people needed in particular industries. So actually we don't even have a good measure at the moment or good statistics around job prospects in the future. I think second is that, you know, there's uncertainty for students here. So, you know, what if they do have accurate numbers and, you know, job prospects change from a year to the next? Does that mean a student might get charged maybe $5,000 one year, then $20,000 the next? It seems really, really uncertain and not fair on the students, I think.
Yeah, and do you think these proposals would make it harder to access tertiary education for lower income students?
Definitely. So, you know, if you put, take the example of law again, if that's seen as a course of high private return, and, you know, the government thinks, oh, we don't need too many lawyers, they'll put the price up for that, and that, you know, locks out so many of our poorest families to get access to not just tertiary education, but to particular courses. So it creates, I think, it has the potential to create real privilege in certain disciplines.
Yeah, so would you go as far as saying these proposals are unethical?
Probably, I think, I wouldn't say unethical, but I think it discounts the factor of considering access to tertiary education, and I think overall tertiary education is a public good. I guess what the proposal suggests is that universities, polytechs, institutes of technology are degree factories, and they're just for people to get jobs in the future. We don't think that's the case. We think there's an overall public good to tertiary education.
So you think that the ideas behind the proposal comes from the sort of foundation that tertiary education is solely for the point of getting a job and not for sort of like raising your sort of own personal knowledge?
Yes, well, yes, that's right, exactly. And I think, you know, as I said, it discounts tertiary education as a public good and I guess the transformative power that it has just to create a more well-informed, well-educated society to, I guess, yeah, just to basically educate the country. You know, universities and politics, they're legislated to be the critic and conscience of society, to be these communities of where we engage in really big public debate. By saying it's purely just to for you to get a job out of it, I think it really discounts their legislative purpose.
Yeah, for sure. And so this proposal is addressing sort of problems that there's too many people studying a certain area and there's not enough people going to jobs in other areas. Do you think there is an actual problem there?
I think, you know, there is a fair point to be made around, you know, shortages of jobs in some areas and, you know, surplus of jobs in others. But I think, you know, I guess my concern around that argument is that actually tertiary study doesn't just teach you hard skills around, say, legal practice or certain business skills, but it actually teaches you a range of soft skills, such as working in a team, being adaptable, you know, those sort of communication skills, things like that, you know, regardless of what degree you're studying. So actually, you know, we as students, we get told that, you know, the jobs that we might get in 10 years' time, they might not even exist today. So therefore, we need to be adaptable and malleable to that. You know, so looking at job shortages and that sort of stuff, it really discounts the importance of soft skills in tertiary education.
But since there are like a significant amount of job shortages, what alternative ideas do you have to encourage students to study in fields where there are worker shortages?
Yeah, so I think this goes to really empowering the student at the front end when they're making the decision to go into tertiary study and what courses they want. So something that we're pushing for, and this is what was recommended in the Productivity Commission report as well, was that the government review its careers education in schools and make sure that it starts earlier as well, not just at year 13. So we really support that. We think that career education at the moment doesn't allow students to make well-informed or supported decisions as to what course they want to do in tertiary education. So, you know, I think that's somewhere where they can help refine student demand around certain areas. You know, obviously, I think part of that career advice should be around talking about graduates who have been in degrees in certain courses and explaining what it's like to be in that course or what it's like to get a tertiary education. But on the other side, I think part of that career advice should be around information about job prospects and, you know, income levels and stuff, if that's a factor in some students' decision making.
So ideally the solution would be an education-based solution rather than a financial incentive.
Yeah, so I think, you know, education-based solution, but just in general, just empowering students more, I think, so they can make well-informed and supported decisions.
Yeah, is there anything else you'd like to add about the proposal?
I think just to get back to the main core of our argument is that I think the proposal only acknowledges tertiary education as a private good and simply to get a job at the end of it, whereas I think it's widely agreed that actually tertiary education has a real overall public good and, you know, going back to that access question, has a real opportunity to get, you know, some of our poorest families out of poverty. So that definitely needs to be a factor in the argument.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.